Welcome on into hour number two of the program. Chris Thomas tonight with you for the next 3 hours until 10 o'clock. Day-Day Lewis comes your way then with Prep Sports Nation. Before we get back to the phones, reminding you that each Wednesday night, join Day-Day for Prep Sports Nation, a comprehensive look at the teams and athletes making news in high school sports across the state. It's brought to you by Ingles. Low prices, love the savings. That's Prep Sports Nation. Each and every Wednesday night, following yours truly on 92.9 The Game. The question tonight is a simple one. We've had extremely busy phone lines, and they remain that way. So let's continue to take your calls at 404-726-0929. The question's simple, but it's a complicated answer. Are the Falcons a legit playoff contender right now? Go vote on the poll at C. Thomas Radio if you can't get through on the phones. Yes, they're ready, or no, we need to see more. Blake is up first. Blake, go ahead.
Hey, what's up? Hey, what's up, Chris? It's great to talk to you again. Sorry, I haven't called back in a little bit. It's been a great last couple of weeks as a Falcons fan. I was one of the people from Atlanta that drove up Sunday morning up I-85 a couple of weeks ago to see the 30-0 pummeling at the hands of the Carolina Panthers. Yeah, they were. All those people were sticking their noses up to us. It was. I would have never pictured this team being 3-2 3 weeks later, and it's been a big turnaround from, I think, Zach Robinson's play calling. Obviously, Jeff Ulbrich has been a lot better through his first 5 weeks than I expected when we got the hire. You know, Chris, the one thing that I think that the other callers haven't hit on yet, obviously Tampa Bay is a good team, 5-1. They're two games with the head-to-head on us in the division. You talked about how we've had a lot of other strong starts over the years, but usually things fickle out, especially in the division. If the Falcons want to be a true playoff contender and they want to go through the wild card route, which is also a possibility, right, I'm looking at these NFC West games, and you got your first one on Sunday night here in San Francisco. Those are going to be the type of teams that you're battling with if you're not able to catch Tampa Bay. And let's be honest, Tampa Bay looks like they might win 11, 12 games. I don't think we're at that level. I just truthfully, I was there week one. I go to a lot of the games. But point is, you look at what San Francisco, Seattle, Arizona bring to the table. I think L.A. is more than likely going to win that division. You're going to maybe have to find a way to go 3-1 in these head-to-head matchups against the NFC West, being you're already 0-2 in the division, to, I think, really put yourself in a scenario where you can be a 5-6-7
Well, Blake, let me ask you this. Do you feel like they can do that?
Sure. It depends on how they look this Sunday. If they win this Sunday, that's their third in a row. I think they'll take care of Miami, even though that's AFC. I think this is the big swing game. I really do. And if they win this Sunday, yeah, I think they can find a way to go 3-1.
Yeah, Blake. Good stuff, man. Appreciate you checking in. Call back anytime. 404-726-0929. I agree with Blake. If you get this one done, now you're rolling. Now it's 3 in a row. Now no team on your schedule for the rest of the season, including a rematch versus Tampa, scares you. Not a team. I mean, I know there are some decent ones left on the schedule. You got Indy overseas. But Indy's, Oren, let's be honest, Indy's kind of in the same position the Falcons are. They're an upstart team with a great running back, with a quarterback who people are watching be a reclamation project. And he's kind of, Daniel Jones is kind of at the same point Michael Penix is at in his career, despite being in the league for 4 years. Prove it. Prove that you're that guy. That's where Daniel Jones is at this point in his career. And, you know, a handful of games this season, some people are convinced, but others have their doubts, just like the Falcons. So that's going to be sort of a mirror image game of each other. Strong defense, great running back, and a quarterback who is proving a lot of people, you know, in Daniel Jones' case, wrong, and in Michael Penix Jr.'s case, right, that they're good quarterbacks. 404-726-0929. Appreciate Blake checking in. Fred's up next. Fred.
Hey, Turtle. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man.
This team, first of all, I do think they're going to be a playoff team. It has a remarkable similarity to the 1980 playoff Falcons. That team had a thunder and lightning running back tandem. You had William Andrews and Lynn Cain. William Andrews was the pass-catching guy that, you know, was similar to Bijan. You had a really good offensive line. You had two really excellent quarter linebackers, Captain. They called him Captain Crazy. Fulton Kuykendall and Buddy Curry. You had two really good guys on the back end that were, I don't remember if they were rookies or second-year players, but you had Bobby Butler and Pride Moore, I think was the guy's name, or Glazebrook. Anyway, very similar team. And the difference was, there's two differences. One, the quarterback was Bartkowski, and he was in his fifth year. Up until then, he had been seen as almost like a kind of a bust. But he came around. It took him 5 years. And he was really excellent that year. You had a really good pass catching. That was the other thing that was similar. You had two tight ends. You had a blocking tight end, Francis, and you had a pass catching tight end, Junior Miller. And Bartkowski liked to go to Junior Miller a lot. And that team, they after five games, you know, they were just starting to gel like this team is. You could see the potential of them, but they weren't there yet. But then they busted off like 10 wins in a row. They had a big win. They had a big comeback win against what was then the St. Louis Cardinals. And it gave them a bunch of confidence, and they just took off from there. And they wound up, you know, making the playoffs. And they got beat by Danny White, of all people, in the fourth quarter, two touchdowns. Beat them in the playoffs. But they did make the playoffs. I think this team is very similar. They have a lot of attributes that that team had, and that was a great team. To me, that was the second-best Falcons team, even better than the 98 Super Bowl team. And that was a really well-rounded team. They should have won the Super Bowl. The prevent defense killed them. But anyway, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, Fred, appreciate it, man. Listen, if you've been around, you're a longtime fan. That was a great, reflection as upon to where this team is now versus one of the upstart teams that you watched growing up. And, you know, obviously I wasn't here in Atlanta, so I'm going to take your word for it, Fred, and hopefully Falcons Nation does too, that if you're saying it's giving you those type of vibes and that team was a playoff team and an upstart bunch, then hopefully that translates to this year too. If you're getting that sort of a warm, fuzzy, tingly feeling in the cockles of your heart that this team reminds you of that team and it's giving you those sorts of vibes, then Fred, I'm all about it, man. Good stuff. 404-726-0929. Let's go to Rocky's up next. Rocky, go ahead.
Hey, Turtle. I think that we have the potential to make the playoffs. We have the talent. This is probably the most talented roster we've put on the field in a long time. I think that what it has to come down to is consistency. And that comes down to something we talked about in the preseason, which is coaching. If our coaches can put together consistent game plans, consistent adjustments during a game, and good coaching during the week, then yeah, I think we could be a playoff team. But man, I really do think it all comes down to our coaching. I'm not sold on him yet. I love Raheem as a personnel person. I just don't know about the X's and O's yet. So, I'm cautiously optimistic. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, Rocky, it's completely fair, and thanks for checking in. Raheem has struggled with in-game coaching. There is no sugarcoating it. I'm not trying to, even though we're all positive today, and we'll hear from Raheem coming up. Guys, this is no secret. We know clock management, timeout structure, in-game situational awareness. Those things are not at an elite level, but he needs to get better. And hopefully Zach Robinson being down on the field helps the communication, helps the team look smooth like they did on Monday night. And hopefully that's just the tip of the iceberg in terms of the corrections, Rocky, that can be made, right? I hope so. I believe in Raheem, in his ability. Let me put it this way. I believe in Raheem Morris's ability to be humble, look inside himself, and at least try to make the corrections. You've seen him shuffle the coaching staff. You've seen him change personnel. It's not like he's so stubborn to the point where he won't make change. So at least we have that. But you're 100% right. There is no sugarcoating it. He needs to be a better in-game coach. Let's see what Glenn thinks. Glenn, you're up next.
Hey, how's it going? And I say no, 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 no. They're not a playoff team yet. No.
Why?
They still got a lot to prove. They just won two games, just two. And then they got their butt kicked 30-0. They are not a play. They still have to prove themselves. The Atlanta Falcons are the biggest choke in the NFL. That's why you don't see the fans in the stadium, because they're afraid to go, because they're afraid to get their heartbreak again and again and again. They have got to prove themselves continuously. That is the biggest thing.
Glenn, I hear you. I got it. I hear you. You're more than entitled to feel that way. And I knew we'd get some calls like this. That's why we're talking it out, right? That's why we have these discussions at 404-726-0929. Glenn's not alone. Guys, I got to be honest. If you're not up, I know the Falcons have had a lot of, ironically, Orin, they've had like 3 primetime games through the first 6 weeks of the season. So if you're not able to be up late with me on the Falcons flyover, it's actually honestly shocking after some of these wins, the amount of calls that I get that feel the same way Glenn does. Even after huge wins against the Vikings, even after huge wins against the Bills, a lot of the calls are still, Turtle, I like the win, but the amount of times I've heard that phrase makes my head spin. But I can't get mad at Glenn. I'm not going to sit here on the radio and shout him down because he's not 100% wrong. I get it. They need to show it. They need to show it. But the positive momentum and the way that the defense is playing, I think it's for real. That's really what it comes down to. Do you believe the last 2 weeks are for real? And clearly, Orin, Glenn does not. 404-726-0929. John is up next. Johnny.
I got to go along with Glenn. This is just week 6, man. You got 11 more games to play. And like Glenn said, you got to prove it. You don't win games on paper. You win them on the field. And the thing about the Carolina game, you played down to the level of your competition. Okay? You have the capability of going to the playoffs. Yes. Everybody's a playoff team right now, except for those folk that are 1-5 and 0-4 and all that type of stuff. Yes, you're a playoff contender. Yes, you can make it. But you got to keep nailing that nail in that. You got to keep driving that nail in that piece of wood, man. You got to keep doing it. This past game, whether people want to recognize it or not, you went 15 minutes, 6 drives with no points after halftime. You can't do that and be a playoff team. Thank God for your defense being as good as it is. Thank God for them. But you cannot lay down on offense. The offense is what puts the scores on the scoreboard. Keep scoring. Zach Robinson, we found out now, oh, I love being on the sidelines. Well, you should have been down there earlier, okay? You should have been down there so you can teach your young quarterback, you know, how to work. I mean, good grief, man. We can do it. We can do it. And Glenn is right about the fact that we are hesitant. We want to cheer for them. We want to be assured that they can do well. But we have people like me who have PTSD from the Falcons. We got PTSD, yeah, man. And the only way to cure it is for you, Falcons, to make it where we don't have it anymore. Constant therapy, such as winning.
No, John, listen, that's a great, passionate phone call. I thank you so much for checking in. And again, I'm not going to sit here and shout you off the radio. I'm not. I understand. Guys, 7 years is a long damn time in the NFL to not make the playoffs. The NFL cycle is like 2 or 3 years, usually, where teams rise up, pun intended, and then they come back down, and then they build back up, and then they come back down. You know, the Chiefs and the Patriots dynasties, those are once-in-a-generation type things. Most teams are more, they get good, they have a window, and then they got to reset. 7 years of just being bad is not acceptable in the NFL. So I get it. John and Glenn and everybody else who is in the prove-it mode, which is why I put it as an option on the poll. Again, go vote at C. Thomas Radio. Are the Falcons a legit playoff contender right now? Yes, they're ready, or no, like John and Glenn think, need to see more. Sam's up next. Sam, go ahead.
Yo, what's going on, Turtle? You can hear me?
Yeah, man, I got you. Go ahead.
All right. So I do believe that the Falcons are definitely a playoff contender right now. I got a lot of confidence in our guys because of the guys that we have at the certain positions. Now, the fact that we actually have a really good football team right now, and I say really good because everybody is doing their job all the way from the coaches to the players. Like, I want to point something out. People got on Raheem's head last year. about not calling a timeout. The Bills, I'm not sure exactly what wide receiver it was, but Josh Allen hurls it up towards the sideline. A guy hauls it in. It looks like a catch. They try to hurry up and get on the line, call a play. Ref throws a flag because Raheem challenged it. Come to find out, we look at it, he was out. Now, if they would have had that momentum going and then we see that, I feel like people would be coming at Raheem's head. And I hate the fact that these fans sit up here and talk about how the Falcons need to prove themselves like they haven't been proving themselves. Zach Robinson has made a huge turnaround coming out of the box. Our O-line has been still doing their job, which I love. And Bijan Robinson is just extremely fantastic. And I just feel like we definitely have a shot at the playoffs. Like, it really feels like we do. Not going to lie.
No, I appreciate it, Sam. Thanks for checking in. I mean, listen, people are going to be harsh because of the recent history. That's just facts, man. Unfortunately, Sam, that's just facts. People are going to be harsh because of the recent history, like John and Glenn. And it's okay. You want to hold your team to the fire. You want them to feel the pressure. This is a huge year for the Falcons, but I believe they're ready. But I understand those who are in the category. Again, go vote on the poll at C. Thomas Radio. No, need to see more. Great job on the phones. We'll take a brief break. We'll check in with San Francisco. Kyle Madsen's going to join me from the Candlestick Chronicles podcast. How is the injury situation looking? How is the team morale? How good of a chance do the Falcons have to win again on primetime on Sunday Night Football? We'll do that next, and then right back to the phones at the bottom of the hour. So if you're on hold, stay there or give us a call back in about 15 minutes. 404-726-0929. We're talking Falcons 49ers on 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Back with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you until 10 o'clock. We'll take more of your calls coming up at the bottom of the hour. So if you're on hold, stay there. Or if you didn't get a chance to get in on the Falcons conversation, 404-726-0929. Looking forward to continuing to chat all things Dirty Birds with you. But right now we're going to head out to the West Coast. Some are calling it the Best Coast. We'll see if that's the case this weekend when the Falcons travel to Santa Clara to take on the 49ers, who are extremely banged up. And that's where we'll begin with our next guest. Make sure you check out the Candlestick Chronicles podcast. Kyle Madsen joins me now. Kyle, let's start there. It might be easier to say who's not playing than who is playing, but give me the list of the rundown right now. What's the injury situation with the Niners?
Oh, boy. All right. So I feel like I have this. I always feel like I have it memorized, and then more people get added. So that's cool. All right. So it looks like Brock Purdy might actually return this week. He was limited in practice today. It also sounds like George Kittle is trending towards returning this week, and that's a pretty significant deal. They have their starting right guard is banged up and may not play. It doesn't look like Ricky Pearsall is going to be back. I would assume Juwan Jennings plays, but I don't know if you've heard the clip of him last week. He's got a high ankle sprain, a low ankle sprain, 5 broken ribs, and his shoulders at 20%. So he's going to play. I don't know how effective he'll be. Fred Warner's obviously out for the year. Nick Bosa out for the year. Oof, it is, and that's just the big names. I'm not even talking about some of the lower tier guys.
Well, how do you explain? I mean, listen, I know the NFL's random and it's a violent sport, but how do you explain the snake-bitten nature of this team that was a perennial Super Bowl contender over the last couple of years that just can't escape the injury bug? What's going on?
I think part of it might have to do with just how many games they have played. That might have something to do with it because, you know, they go to the Super Bowl in 2019. They're super banged up in 2020, but then they go back to the NFC title game in 21 and 22, and then to the Super Bowl in 2023. Maybe it's just that. It's additional wear and tear. Maybe it's the way they approach training camp. I know Kyle Shanahan has pretty tough training camps. Maybe it's that. But, like, the Nick Bosa injury, it's his third torn ACL since high school. Like, that. I mean, maybe that's just it. The Fred Warner injury, they only had 10 guys on the field for the play, which may have played a factor, but it's a freak injury where a player just kind of falls into his leg and his leg breaks, or his ankle dislocates, I should say. I think there's some randomness to it, but then I think with some of the other stuff, like Brock Purdy hurt his toe running out of bounds. Like what a weird thing. But then I do think that there's something to it with the hamstrings and the calves and Christian McCaffrey's Achilles injury, where like maybe they could have handled that differently. Maybe there's a different way that could have gone that keeps those guys healthy for longer. But I think most of it comes down to what you said. It's just kind of randomness. It's the NFL. It's a rough sport, and the 49ers have just kind of been snake bitten.
Well, one guy that could step up is a guy that we're very familiar with here in Atlanta, and that's Mykel Williams. What have you seen from him so far, and do you feel like he has the upside to help fill in the gaps for some of those guys?
Mykel Williams is a really freaking good player, and that was pretty obvious coming out of Georgia. I mean, playing last year and being as effective as he was on a high ankle sprain was really impressive. But this year, you're seeing the growth, and this is what the 49ers are hoping for, where he might not be super effective week one or week two, but as the season goes on, you see that growth, and you can see it. It's tangible, specifically as a run defender. He's been very, very good in that aspect. The pass rush is still coming around a little bit, but I think that was a more raw part of his game. The Niners defense badly needed help in their run defense, though, and Mykel Williams has provided that. He's been really good. Come up with some splash plays. I think they're probably looking for some more consistency and certainly more from the pass rush. But he did get a sack last week. He's starting to show in that area. So a good start for him for sure. And I think he's only just scratching the surface.
Whether it's Mac Jones or Brock Purdy this weekend, is the game plan just give the ball to 23 and just say, dude, we need you to carry us? Or do they actually have other weapons, other guys that you mentioned from all the ones that are hurt that could step up in some of the lower tier?
So I'm going to give a weird answer here, if that's okay. I think it depends a little bit on if George Kittle plays, because George Kittle has often, for Brock Purdy, been that outlet where he will just lean on George Kittle for an explosive play or to get a big first down or whatever it is. And right now, with how banged up their receiving core has been and with I think their wide receiver's inability to get open, Luke Farrell and Jake Tungus, their backup tight ends, are not explosive in the passing game. I think getting George Kittle back will allow them to lean on Christian McCaffrey significantly less than they have been, where they've just needed to do anything to generate offense. And so I think a lot of it has just been, when in doubt, check it down to 23 and see if he can make a play. And that's fine for a couple of weeks. I just don't think that's tenable for 17 games if they want to make the postseason. So I think if George Kittle comes back, I think it takes a lot of the onus off of Christian McCaffrey. Kendrick Bourne has been a revelation the last couple of weeks. So I think if Kittle plays, I think there will still be a heavy workload for McCaffrey, but I think there will be plenty of touches to go around for Kittle and Jennings and Bourne as well.
Talking all things Falcons 49ers, Sunday night football coverage right here on 92.9 The Game, your home of the Falcons, talking with Kyle Madsen, Candlestick Chronicles podcast for all the 49ers insight before the game. Make sure you check out his work there. All right, so Kyle Shanahan, we know the deal. Do you feel like he's starting to get frustrated with the state of this team right now, or do you think he's looking at this more of a challenge to help boost his coaching resume?
I think frustrated is the wrong word. Maybe exasperated. Like, what the heck do I need to do to keep a team healthy? But I do think you talk about the challenge aspect. I think there's part of him that kind of enjoys that. Like, yeah, I can get 350 yards out of Mac Jones. Watch, I can beat the Rams in LA with a banged up Mac Jones and Kendrick Bourne and Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Jake Tungus. Yeah, watch this. Like, I think there's part of him that does enjoy that. That said, I don't think there's any part of him that prefers it that way. So I think exasperation is just kind of the thing. I think expectation setting and going from, okay, just try to make the playoffs this year, young team. And if guys improve throughout the year, then maybe you're looking Super Bowl to okay, they start 4-1. All right, hey, maybe you're looking like a Super Bowl team. And then to have Fred Warner go down, you lose to Tampa Bay, another very good team in the NFC. Now it's back to, okay, can you just make the playoffs? And I think the other part of it, sorry to cut you off just real quick. I think the other part of it is just not knowing week to week what his team is going to look like. I think there's part of that too, where when you talk about frustration, I think that's where the frustration might set in a little bit.
Do you think that when it comes down to it, the team ultimately looks at their run from that era, from let's say 5-6 years ago, as being over? Is this a new sort of set of eyes on the 49ers and their organization, or do you still feel like this is a carryover from that team? Because from the outside perspective, I'll say, Kyle, it does feel different now.
Yeah, the Super Bowl window is gone for me, for sure. I think if we talk out here, we talk about like what's the new core, right? Because it was Deebo Samuel, and it was Jimmy Garoppolo, and it was George Kittle, and Fred Warner, and Nick Bosa. Like, that was the first, okay, well, now they're trying to transition to this new core around Ricky Pearsall and Brock Purdy, and Fred Warner and Nick Bosa are still going to be around. Trent Williams still going to be around, at least for this year and maybe next year. But I think they're trying to figure out what that new core is to see if they can reopen a Super Bowl window. But I think any visions of, like, this being a continuation – no, I think this offseason was a pretty clear sign they're resetting, where they let Talanoa Hufanga go, they let Dre Greenlaw go, they parted ways with a bunch of veterans, knowing that, okay, it's retooling time. It's not a full-blown rebuild, tear it down to the studs. We're going to win 4 games and try and have the number one pick. But it is a admission that, all right, they're not a couple of veterans away from being a Super Bowl team. They need to restock this roster with young talent because it was just bereft for a couple of years. Their 2022 draft outside of Purdy was a mess. Their 2023 draft was largely a mess. Like, they needed to get good young players in, and I think that was kind of their focus, because they know they were probably not winning a title this year.
Do you believe there's any internal concern about Brock Purdy being injury prone?
No. I think if there was, I don't think they would have paid him. It is definitely it's a thing I brought up on my radio show. It's like, even last year, he missed the season finale because he banged his elbow against the Lions in week 17, like, just kind of weird freak things. I don't think it's anything internal, with Brock Purdy specifically. I think they're pretty scarred from the Jimmy Garoppolo era, where Jimmy Garoppolo had a bunch of injury issues. And I think you're going to see the Niners probably invest pretty heavily in a QB2 for as long as Brock Purdy is there. But I don't know if that's a Brock Purdy specific thing or just a value of a quality backup quarterback thing.
Before I let you go, how do you view this matchup?
It's funny. This is before the year, people go, oh, it's such an easy schedule for the Niners. They got the NFC South, outside of the Buccaneers, that's not a good division. And the AFC South, well, the NFC South is pretty dang good. And the AFC South, the Jags and the Colts look pretty dang good. And Houston might be good. The Giants, who they play, are trending the right way. I think Atlanta's very good, man. What they've done to turn their defense around, Jeff Ulbrich's done such a great job. I like Michael Penix a lot. Bijan Robinson's awesome. I don't know how the 49ers in their current state keep up with the Falcons. I think maybe they score a little bit if they get some guys back. Even though Atlanta's defense is very good, no disrespect there, but I don't know how the Niners stop Atlanta offensively. Like, Bijan Robinson to me is going to have 250 yards and 3 touchdowns. Like, I don't know how they stop Bijan. I don't know how they cover Drake London if Atlanta starts moving him around away from D'Amato on the north side. I don't know how they rush Michael Penix and affect him. Like, I think the Falcons are going to kind of do what they want offensively, and the Niners, even if they put together a couple of good drives, I don't know how they win a shootout.
Well, that would top his 238 scrimmage yard performance from last week. So we'll see if that happens. Kyle, appreciate it. Enjoy the game on Sunday night.
You got it. You too, buddy.
All right. That is Kyle Madsen of the Candlestick Chronicles podcast. Good stuff. 250. How about that? Yeah, I actually think he's going to do better than he did against the Buffalo Bills, if that's humanly possible. That would be something else. All right. Good stuff there. Back to you on the phones, 404-726-0929. You just heard the San Francisco 49ers perspective. Does that change your mind at all? Are the Falcons a legit playoff contender right now? Yes, they're ready, or no, you need to see more. We'll also let you hear from Raheem Morris. All that and more coming up on a jam-packed Chris Thomas Tonight with you till 10 o'clock. Back with you on 92.9 The Game. Thanks to Kyle Madsen for stopping on by, giving us a full preview and a breakdown, and Niners-Falcons right here on 92.9 The Game on Sunday Night Football. But we're going back to you on the phones at 404-726-0929. Are the Falcons a legit playoff contender right now? You think they're ready, or do you think that they need to show you more? I think they're ready. I think we've seen enough from the defense, most specifically, that they are putting themselves in a position to be able to be in, compete in every single game. I'm not entirely sure why it took this long, but whatever. It doesn't matter, right? Just as long as we got here. I think the offense is evolving on a week-to-week basis. Again, you have a quarterback who's only making what will be his ninth start in the NFL. You can't hold him to the same standards as some of the guys that he's going up against. Last week, he outdueled the MVP. He outdueled a former Falcon quarterback in Marcus Mariota. He outdueled what was supposed to be another rookie sensation in J.J. McCarthy. So, listen, the sky is the limit for the Falcons this season. How far can they go? It all comes down to the one thing. We've been talking about it. I've been talking about it. You've been talking about it on the phones. Consistency. If they can bottle up these performances and replicate them, they're going to be more than just fine. If they can't, then it's going to be another season of collectively holding our breath and waiting for the other shoe to drop, which I don't think it's going to happen this year. I really don't. I feel like because of the emergence of the defense, you are in a situation now where the bottom is not going to fall out of it, because the defense is going to be able to keep you, if not in every single game, in most games. And the defense is going to be able to make timely, game-changing plays like they've been able to do over the last couple of weeks. The defense has been nothing short of, again, revolutionary, whatever word you want to use. It's been amazing to watch. It's easily the best defense I've seen since I've been here in Atlanta, and it's not even close. All right, your calls are next, 404-726-0929. Let's hear a little bit from Raheem Morris. He was talking to the media today. He was asked about Michael Penix Jr. calling the Atlanta Falcons legit. Again, Raheem Morris did also join Dukes and Bell today. We'll hear that conversation coming up a little later in the program. But he also did meet the media, and he was asked a bunch of different things about the state of the Falcons and what's going on. Or number 10 on the cut sheet if we're scoring at home. There were two different spots for Raheem Morris sound today, and that's my fault. I should have specified which one of those I was talking about. But yes, Raheem Morris was asked about Michael Penix Jr. calling the Falcons legit.
It just means like Penix is doing the right things. Like he's going out there putting his team in position to win. I love how he is about how he corrects himself about the things that he wants to do better every single game, how he wants to finish that game better. I love how he got it started. I love how he was able to go out there and execute the game plan. We played a legit team. So really when Penix is saying it makes us legit, it's more that he's giving Buffalo a compliment as opposed to really talking about who we are and what we are. But if you can beat a team like Buffalo, you can put yourself like up against anybody in the league. You know, I think that's a well coach. I think that's a proven football team, a team that's been in the AFC Championship numerous amounts of times, competing at a very high level with Patrick and Burrow when they're rolling over there and as the best team in the AFC. So I think he's giving kind of Buffalo more of a compliment as more than talking about what we are.
Wait a minute. Why can't he call them legit? Is Michael Penix not allowed to call his team legit? Is there something wrong with that? I don't think so. I'm not quite sure why Ra was so reserved there and like trying to modify the comments of Michael Penix Jr. Be confident in your team, man. Let's go. We just beat the Bills on Monday Night Football. Hell yeah, we're legit. Surprising. I wish I heard the question, I guess, in order to maybe get some better context about that. That's confusing to me, especially for Ra, who's like the biggest cheerleader I've ever heard talk as a coach in not only Falcons history, but maybe in the entire NFL. So interesting start there. But, I mean, I don't have a problem with Michael Penix Jr. calling the Falcons legit. Do you? I mean, I don't know. A weird response there from Rob, but whatever. I mean, listen, if he says it's about saying the Bills are great and it was a good thing to beat them, that's fine, I guess. But, all right, let's see what else he had to say. Raheem Morris on why D'Angelo Malone was out there on the field to make the game-winning play.
D'Angelo's been part of that rotation all year. You know, he's one of those guys that goes down to a bunch of different packages that we have. He's done up to show us that he can play better, and he's been doing those things even since last year. You know, been out there. I know you guys remember the big mistake that he made in the Washington game when he had the illegal contact downfield. But, I mean, this is a guy that just continues to get better for us. He's been one of those guys that's been able to go out and find ways to get on the grass, whether it's a dropper, whether it's a rusher, whether it's a dominant special teams player for us, and he's a significant contributor for our football team. And I love seeing D'Lo go out there and do positive things for us.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we knew he was going to be involved. He made the team. So, I mean, is it shocking that he was out there as part of a pack? I don't think so. He's been on this team for a while now. Has he popped the way that some of us thought he would coming out of Kentucky? I don't know, but he's a decent football player who's been able to make this roster year in and year out. So, I mean, if you're on the team, you got to be ready for your number to be called, right? So, good on him. And that adds to his resume of, again, being a productive football player. Listen, it's Bijan Robinson is not the entire roster. There's guys on this team that are depth players that are just as important that you need to win games late in games when your starters are tired or somebody gets hurt. You got to have the D'Angelo Malones of the world. Special teams as well. How about our new tush-push quarterback, Felipe Franks? Raheem Morris was talking about how the play for him to line up under center and get a yard and take a direct snap and whatever the heck that play was, how Felipe Franks is becoming more valuable.
It's been in the works for a while, but it's a copycat league. You know, you steal those things from other people. You know, San Fran, we've seen run it. We've seen a couple people run it last week. It's copycat league, and Felipe fits that mold. You know, obviously, he has the quarterback background. He has some of those different things. We go out there now, 13 personnel, so he can definitely add that to us and some of that world. But you're always trying to get better, and when you're trying to get better, that entails stealing things from other people, and that was just a great theft moment.
I mean, listen, that's you talk about D'Angelo Malone. Felipe Franks continues to make the roster every single year, too. And, I mean, yes, he's technically a tight end now, but we know his ballywick was as a quarterback. Jake Matthews, obviously, this is really important. Raheem Morris talked about the update on our left tackle.
Today, all I know is it's going to be day-to-day. It was an ankle. So we know who he is. We know what he doesn't miss. So we'll just have to see, Taryn. But I feel really positive about him and what happened based on not having any idea last night.
Yeah, I mean, listen, his absence would be huge. I thought Jarrell did okay, but again, the offense really sputtered in the second half, so I'm not entirely sure what we would see if Jake Matthews is not able to go. Obviously, that's not what you want, but you hope that his resiliency can get him back out there, even if he's not 100%. I'd still take 80% of him over anybody else, so we got to see and just keep your fingers crossed. One more before we get out of here. Bill Bender is going to join me at the top of the hour. We'll talk a little college football. We've been wall-to-wall Falcons for the first 2 hours of the show, as we should be. We'll just switch gears a little bit and talk some college football next. How about the block punt? Yeah, not good. That was the one negative for me is this kicking game and some of the special team stuff is still not quite where it needs to be.
Pretty low trajectory on that kick, particularly Russo made a great play. There's no doubt about it. They got a little pressure right there, but pretty much it was low, but overall last night I was really pleased with how the special teams played last night, particularly in our coverage units, bringing us that operational piece of the kick, the snap, and all those type of things that's happening with us. And like those things went well last night other than that one play that you just mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it just continues to be sticking out like a sore thumb. This team needs to, if they're going to be a legit playoff contender, as we've been talking about all show long, the kicking situation just needs to get figured out. I mean, it's pretty simple. Find somebody that can make the stinking kicks. That's really just what it comes down to. But he's right. The special teams in terms of not giving up those huge chunk plays, not giving up, you know, the starting position at the 45 or the 50 for the opposition, as we've seen way too many times so far this season. I thought that's been better the last couple of weeks. So, and that really helps. I mean, the defense, talk about the defense. If the opposition's starting at the 50, I mean, you essentially have no shot. They need to get, what, 15 yards to get a field goal? I mean, come on. That's a first down and a half. That's essentially where we're at right now. So that's really the only area of the team I think that we need to tighten up. Good stuff from Rob. We'll hear him with our boys, Dukes and Bell, coming up a little bit later in the show. But when we get back, let's switch gears and talk some college football. There was an idea floated out today about who should Penn State focus on for their next head coach. I'll ask Bill Bender about it if he thinks it's even a remote possibility. You don't want to miss that. And a whole lot more. What does he think about the Dogs and Tech to kick off the 8 o'clock hour on 92.9 The Game? It's Chris Thomas tonight.